Here, let me pass you.
I'll switch you.
All right, that's part of the signature. All right, we'll call order the Wasatch County Fire District Board Directors Meeting. It is 4:13 on Tuesday, September 11th. Present are the members of the board with excuse for Houston Farrell and Mark Nelson. So, first order, this is the minutes, so we have an opportunity to review the minutes, and so motion is in order.
Can I make one change? On page 3, under the fire warden report, it's on the next page over, says Councilman Mike Peterson. It says a 2-acre fire that will, change that word to cost. It says cause.
Oh, I'm going to say cause.
This is a real simple one.
Okay. All right, so is that a motion with the change?
Yeah, I'll make a motion with you with that change.
All right, we have a motion with an adjustment by Board Member Peterson, second by.
Yep.
By Board Member McPhee. Any discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Abstain.
We have an abstention from, please note that, from Board Member Crittenden here. The rest of the unanimous. All right, warrants. What we got, Chief? Can you give us an addendum, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Grant has the total for us.
I got the total. I'll make the motion to approve the awards in the amount of $167,029.16.
We have a motion by Board Member McPhee. Second by.
I'll second that.
Board Member Peterson, any discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is that unanimous?
Hey, just a question about the landscape bundle for Oakwood Homes. What's that? What's that about?
There were several rainy and stuff, several of them.
What's that?
What was it?
Yeah. Oh, the landscape bond. Oakwood Home.
It was always in the wintertime, the wildland inspections. If they don't have their yard in,
then you just collect that.
Post a $5,000 bond. Okay. So then when the inspection's done, then they reimburse the money.
Okay.
That's what's that on the landscape bond. You've seen a few of those over the past few months.
Yeah, I understand how they work. I've had to pay a few of those.
Is that with Rainy as well?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Okay.
All right, so now we're down to the Chief report. Chief, what you got?
Well, I handed out the, and all it's down below on the presentation, and I handed out the ESI report to you. It's a bound. They're wondering if we want them to do a
presentation.
Skype presentation or fly down and present. They're out of Washington, so I thought I was going to bring it to you to see what
I guess maybe
you guys would prefer. If, what, you know, if we want to get the Ivy Board together with you guys and do the Skype or have them come down and present.
They would just kind of go over the highlights.
What's the cost to have them come and do it? What's the cost associated with that?
I would hope it would be $150,000.
I would prefer they came and talked to us about it myself. I don't like Skype, but I'm good with whatever.
I don't either. I mean, just never get the interaction.
Nope. I think we definitely need the board here when it happens.
Maybe what we should do is review this over the next week or so. We got our email too, by the way.
Should be electronic and hard copy.
So let's
I was thinking maybe even the next board meeting or something. Yeah. Invite the advisory board and this board and have them present at the fire board.
Yeah, I like that a lot better.
It's big. I mean, that's 120 pages to review. You actually look back in the back and look at the recommendations. That'll give us enough time to actually write down any questions if you have them. And the advisory board, I'd like to give them two prior to that, have a meeting where we can have some questions put together for them.
And I saw that Mary mailed this out. Was that this weekend or before this weekend? Yeah, I saw Mary send it out to the advisory board, so they haven't seen it yet. Well, we just
have electronic, but not hard.
Right.
I'm okay with Skype because I don't think it's worth the cost to have them fly down here.
Well, if that's the price, I want them here. If it's not, I again.
It's not, well, I think I can't think it's worth. It's included in the price. I think they're going to charge us to come, and we've got a big screen and microphones. We can talk over it and save the $3,000 or $4,000. It's going to cost us to have them come here.
Yeah, I guess that much.
So if it's included in the price, they quoted us, they're coming, but if we got to pay them to come down, we'll Skype it. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think we probably have the capability of doing that, don't we?
You what?
Yeah, we'd have the capability. We'd have to get Don involved to make sure.
In theory, well, you can Skype on any computer in about a half hour.
You just got to be able to.
Look, every single one of us can bring the iPad that we have.
We could even get Quentin.
All seven of us can join the Skype call with him if we have to do it that way. I like person to person.
That sounds good, Chief.
I do too, but it's probably not the bang for our buck is not there.
Has anyone had an opportunity to review this in your email yet? Did you have anything that you wanted to at least talk about tonight?
It's very well put together. We'll probably need a week or so to review it all, but yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at it at all.
A lot of information.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff there. That's why I think going through that on Skype to me, but I'm good.
Well, they're just going to point out the highlights anyway.
Yeah, I think to go through it, it's going to be several hours on our own just going through it.
If they're just going to read it to us, there's no point in doing it.
A lot of hours on our own.
So we're good. Included, they're coming, if not, we're Skyping at the next fire board meeting. I'll get the advisory board, Mary can notify them.
Right, because that'll give the advisory board an opportunity to meet beforehand, review it as a collective, and bring questions, I guess. Does that sound right, Mary?
Okay. One other thing, we're trying to attach the assessment to the taxes in the Jordanelle. From last year we billed, we haven't got some of them. Some of them's $6, $7, $8, $10, $20, $30. I'm just wondering if we can put the cutoff for 600, like 600. And some of what happens, we have to look up the parcel number and the address to make sure it's current. So when we turn it in, they have that information. So what I'd like to do is have the cutoff at $50. We may wind up getting down to 40 and just write the others off. But I guess that's what I'm asking, what your thoughts are.
So it's just becoming
halfway trying to look up these partial numbers, make sure they match the property owner. Someone's been sold.
So if it's under a certain amount, you're asking if you can write them off.
Correct.
It's just becoming a nuisance.
Costs more to go get them than you're going to get.
The total amount, I think, on all of them is right around 60, it's a change, 60,000.
If we write off everything under 50,000,
wrote off everything under 50.
Under 50, it would be about $5,400 that would be ready.
And how many people? How much to go collect that $5,000? More than that?
Well, it's just difficult for her to have to go look up for $5. I'm just not chasing.
But there's a dollar number associated with her time and everything else. It may be that we're throwing good money after bad by even looking at it. I'll bet.
I'm okay with if you want to set that bottom at 50 and then if you want to come back and adjust it later.
Yeah, well, we may wind up getting to 40, 45. We have to have them turned into the county by Friday. So
use best judgment on that.
We're going to work them down as low as we can. I just wanted to make sure the board is aware of it.
Does anyone have an issue with that?
No.
Other than that, do you have questions?
I got a question for you. Have the minor people been in touch with you, other than Leroy, kind of giving you a brief sketch?
I've heard lots of rumors.
Right.
But not from them.
But they haven't come to you directly yet?
I mean, every time I see Leroy, he says, we're okay, aren't we?
So, can I ask you a question on that 1,300, you know, the 1,300-foot limit on a cul-de-sac? See if they've got two roads going up and they want to connect the two because this one's 1,300 to this point and this one's 1,300 to this point. But if they connect the two with a temporary road that works really well in the summertime, but in the wintertime it's skied on, is that an issue with you?
Yeah, well, until I see it, I don't know. But we've made, or I have back when Deercrest was built, Deer Valley, they have some of the similar same type of issues. Some of those cul-de-sacs are, so they build a road and they haul in tailings on them to actually, and they use them for ski runs in the winter.
Yeah.
But I have to look at it, see how far it is, how much building's on it. I mean, like these, it was in Deer Crest. I mean, there was a few homes on them, you know, lots where, I don't know if they got hotels or was at the end of these 1300s, I don't know. So it's hard for me to say, yeah, I'm good with it or no, I'm not, but have we made some concessions in the past? Absolutely.
Okay. I don't know what the capacity is there, how loaded the street is with.
I know, I ask you, and I know a couple of the folks have asked if you have some discretion in the international fire code to make some things work if it's physical constraints in wintertime and temporary type things, and you said we worked through them before, I think is what the question I asked you was. When we met with those guys, I repeated that in our meetings with those guys, and I hope that wasn't, I guess we ought to make sure that that's not interpreted as, hey, we're all good.
No, but they know that, they were from equity, well, we know we got to work on these other issues.
Yeah, we know it's on the list of issues, and I think you know it's on the list of issues, but you're not, haven't seen the details, is that fair?
By the way, they're like,
a lot of people.
They're talking to the other entities about our organization.
Are they?
So I don't see how that gets them out of anything.
Which makes sense to me.
I did want to.
Oh, that's Kirk.
Why would it put them on fire?
How do we do that where Park City is incorporated in the town of Wasatch County? Do we still provide fire service? Are we still primary fire?
All the service districts stay.
Okay.
JSSD and fire whole state, they're the service provider for that section.
So I'm asking that, so just in case, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but in a world where they would annex into Park City, might it?
Or Hideout.
Well, might, Park City in particular, because they have a fire department, then who would be the primary fire? It sounds like we would continue to be primary fire.
I'd protest it almost right now.
Okay.
It would be huge revenue loss if that was the case.
Would you call that Chair Baker or Sean?
Okay. That's all I've got. Anybody got anything else for the chief?
Hey, the flag looks great across Main Street.
Oh, yeah, good job.
Every time
on
you
that
do that,
morning.
It's just wonderful.
I laid on the horn when I went by this morning. You're still out there.
Yeah,
I come into town and I see a tear that into town hanging there.
Cool. Everybody in the
way. Yeah, great thing.
This meeting just got shorter.
Radio station this morning. Coming in on
that. Is it really? That's good. I don't think the congressman didn't make it, or Congressman Curtis. Did he even make it to the Ravens?
I didn't see him.
They told me that he probably wouldn't because they were early for him.
Yeah.
So. All right, thank you, Chief.
Farm boy.
He's a city guy.
Yeah.
All right, Fire Marshal, you ready? Or are you good to go?
Nope, we're good. Nothing to report unless we have any questions.
How's the fall? How's the fall fire season? Tapering off some? Still dry out there. Huh?
Yeah. They're still there.
There's more fires for them.
That's true, yeah.
Business as usual.
You want to go tour them again?
Well, by the way, when we met with the congressman earlier, that was an issue we brought up, which is, you know, it's a combined issue with public lands about how we have all this dry tinder out there with the beetle killer. And how that's going to potentially in a couple of years just be a big fire hazard for us. And we're trying to brainstorm solutions for getting rid of that wood. We were talking to him about, you know, can they loosen some regulations so we can get in there and get that timber out? And because it's starting to get to a point to where they can't use it for a profitable motive, but we want to get it out of there just so it's not, you know, a tender box. And so that's. Just to let you guys know, we were talking with the congressman about trying to come up with a solution to get that stuff out of there. And I think, and the way he responded is, they're looking for ideas from anyone. So if you guys have something, or if you've heard about something that other departments have done, let us know so that we can pass that on and maybe enact it here in the county.
Where we had the big fire this year, I think is the one place where we didn't have all the beetle kill.
Oh, really?
The Dollar Ridge area doesn't have all the beetle kills. Not like Duchesne Ridge and...
So that far...
Right, am I right? I haven't been up there for...
It's north of Dense. Beetle kill.
They have beetle kill there?
Down in that
Beaver Canyon.
Okay.
But I can get on that a little bit, Danny, on some of the things that...
Okay.
You're
done, Mr. Hare?
I'm done.
All right, Lord.
You're just jealous, that's all.
I am jealous. I don't have that.
I'm jealous, too.
So we are picking up just a few brush fires here and there. Things have seemed to slow down a little bit. Speaking of what you asked, so last week we got a phone call from the Forest Service that asked if I wanted to come out do a training assignment on a fire they had up in UMass. Lightning strike fire, a couple acres. Well, they had had a plan that they were going to turn this 10-acre fire into 700 acres. They had no values threatened, a lot of dead down, beetle kill.
So it was basically a controlled burn?
Yes. So it was a wildfire that we ended up burning a bigger chunk.
Kind of like the one out of Co-op that they were doing a bunch of.
Yeah. So, and like you say, so some of this timber, they are losing the value because it's starting to rot. There's no commercial value in it. Honestly, that is the best way to get rid of a lot of that stuff. If it can be done in a good controlled environment where there's no values at risk, can be done safely. Seriously, when we had that fire in there, it was like every 30 seconds to a minute you hear a tree fall. And honestly, that's number one of the biggest reasons firefighters die on wildland fires, trees and killing. So it's not safe to go in there. Basically, they're taking a bad situation, cleaning up the land, plus they're making it safe for the firefighters not having to go in there. Cut down a bunch of dead snags that are going to potentially fall and kill somebody.
Well, there's an article in the papers, well, it's been this week, talking about the Yellowstone fires and how great a deal, now we look in hindsight, and how healthy that's been for that forest.
Oh, it's unreal. I was there this summer, and you can see where all that pine came back. It's thick, and you're just like, wow, in 50 years, we could have another problem, but...
Well,
it does. It's healthy for the forest.
It talked about lodgepole pine have two types of cones, those that that pop on a yearly and those that are resin embedded and only pop during a fire.
During a fire. And it's good. And it, you know, what they're looking for is a lot of aspen regen, you know, and it's good for the elk. It's good for the, you know, for the fires in the future. You get that aspen, you're less likely to have the big hot fires that, you know, pine. Lodgepole timber, something like that, would carry these areas.
And then along with that, their policy for 100 years of the Yellowstone was that as soon as they found a fire, they put it out. And then they found that all they did was add a lot of timber. And so that's what created that super fire.
And that's the problem we have now. We've done such a good job at stopping these fires very small. That now you're starting to see the catastrophic fires like we have at Dollar Ridge, to where they start small, but they're 1,000 acres like that, and you can't really get in there to control them.
It's kind of the circle of life with the trees. So it sounds like we give them permission to go start a fire, we can take care of that, no problem.
So I mean, it's not just going in there and throwing another match. I mean, there's a lot to do with. I mean, there's a lot of science involved.
We did like four days of not prepping the line. You know, one a month or one every quarter or something like that.
It's not up to us, though, right? Yeah. I mean, by the environmental controls and the issues.
I'm saying we propose it. I'm not saying we do it.
Yeah. The issue that we have as a county is state statute considers wildland fire a nuisance. So any fire on state and private land has to be suppressed, where Forest Service has a little bit more leeway. And they do have these designated prescribed fire areas. That they continually work and prep these areas. So when they do find an opportunity or get a good window to burn, they'll go up and burn. There's one that they're getting ready to do up Upper Provo. It's called the Upper Provo RX. And it's up 150 as well.
Sometimes these become uncontrolled.
Uncontrolled. And that's the issue. So for every 40 that go great, and you get that one that hits the news, and, you know, you got higher-up people condemning it. So it is a lot of education, and they are putting together a lot of research and stuff that will hopefully be out next year on some of these managed fires, because they really do benefit the forest.
Well, any proposals that you guys can think of to give to us or pass through to us that we can, and then when we get a hold of, maybe make that part of a public lands meeting or get all the entities together in one room and come up with a solution.
I know Dano, our district ranger, he's pretty proactive.
He is good.
Some of this managed fires, which is good. I was able to get some passport signatures
I think any fire you see, unless it's as long as it's not imminent problems going out like on the Duquesne Ridge, I think he's going to let it burn and try to do what he can.
Yeah,
once it's been already started technically by something else.
Right.
Okay.
That's all I have. Do you guys have any questions?
So, well, this last month you had Rick Coleman retire. Mm-hmm. Had a good party for him then. How many years did he serve? 30?
No, 20. I'll say 22.
Anybody else coming up soon to retire?
Roger Ford, I think, in January. Kim Hill, I think, is out in August.
Okay.
Probably getting out.
Yeah. You got any parties coming up between now and the end of the year?
Well, EMS and fire will have
for
Christmas.
Yeah, that is.
Probably in December.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
Anything else for Troy?
Thanks, guys.
All right. So you have your answer on presentation of the report, correct, Ernie?
Yeah.
Anything else for anybody? I'd like to do a quick closed session for personnel with only Ernie. So, unless someone has something else.
Motion to go into closed for personnel.
Second.
All right, motion by Councilmember McPhee, second by Board Member McPhee, second by Board Member Peterson.
You don't report.
Aye.
Aye.
Spencer, second.
Aye.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we'll just do this affidavit that he'll have to have.
Hey, Danny, you need me on this one?
I've
got to run to Heber City before we start up here in the next meeting, so.
You're not going to be here for Jordan now?
I will.